The following show is a replay of KTQA Daily Briefing. For more information, please call 253-330-8821 or visit us online at daily.ktqa.org. Good evening! It is 1 minute after the hour of 6 p.m. on this October 28th, 2020. My name is Sam, and you are listening to the Daily Briefing. And with me, as usual, is Becky. How are you doing today, Becky?
I'm doing wonderful, and it is wonderful to have you on the KTQA Daily Briefing. We've missed you, Sam.
Well, it's been a busy few weeks for me. I don't know how much I want to talk about on the air, about any of it, to be honest with you. So, you know what I'll do? I'll let you decide some of it. Well, you know what I've been up to because, well, we're near each other and we're kind of a couple.
Indeed. We are, in household.
Yeah.
Together.
So what have I been up to lately, Becky?
I think the thing that you teased last time that you were on the air was the building up and building out of the KTQA studio. And it has been fun watching your progress and participating in that progress as well.
Yeah, the KTQA studio, unlike this one, which was sort of hashed together out of whatever I happen to have on hand in my own, you know, pile of gear, the KTQA studio is a full service, complete radio station studio with broadcast board, multiple cart players.
Well, we should say it will be.
Will be. But that's just how confident I am in my abilities at this point, is that I know it's going to work. You know, I have a lot of help and a lot of really good people helping me out behind the scenes in not just in the community, but also elsewhere in the broadcasting community. And I feel really confident that the studio is going to be a huge technical success. Whether or not it's a success to the community isn't really my call out.
That's not your domain.
It's not my domain. My job is to bring the studio to the community. And, you know, I'll definitely be using it, but I also want it to be available to the community, which is why the studio isn't in the house, for one thing. It will be publicly accessible, you know, dependent upon how things work out with the current pandemic. But I mean, if you're listening to this over the air, you could be the person behind the microphone in our fabulous new to us studio.
And let's hope that that 2021 will bring more opportunity to be in those enclosed spaces together with getting this pandemic under control so we can gather, we can enrich our lives and our community with diverse voices on the radio.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. I wanted even the build out to be a community project. I wanted it to be more than just me. But with things as they are, it's been kind of difficult. So instead of having it be a community build out, I've actually just started recording video of me doing the build out and putting it on YouTube. Is that worth talking about?
I think it is, because if you were wondering what goes into building a community radio station, well, wonder no further. Just take a look at all of Sam's intrepid enterprising
the technical
solutions.
Side of building a community radio station. I would say that the part of the build out that you're not seeing, which is the building of the community, a lot of which is on hold, is a much bigger and more key component of truly building a community radio station. But if you're interested in seeing the engineering side, I've launched a YouTube channel. It's called Waveform Orchard on YouTube. Search it up. I released episode 3 on Saturday. Becky's in it. I'm in it. One other person is in it. So far, I've built out the IP side, and we've made some modifications to furniture that will be in the studio. And you can get a sense of the space and a sense of how it's put together.
Indeed.
Is that enough of what I've been up to lately?
I think that covers a lot of what you've been up to, Sam, and why we've been missing you.
Well, I mean, we're also prepping. I've now actually set the studio build out aside in order to build a temporary studio in that space for the purposes of next Tuesday.
Yes, our listeners may have started to hear little inclinations of the events that are happening on Tuesday. With regards to KTQA, we've got three radio stations that are teaming up.
Yeah.
Not just KTQA, but also Radio Tacoma and our friends at VT Radio Universal, our online Spanish language and Hispanic culture format community radio station that is here in Tacoma. So we're excited to do a three-station joint effort simulcasting on multiple venues to cover the election from the local perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. So shall we get to the massive updates we have for today?
Yes, we have a lot. But as always, remember that state-level information and updates on COVID-19 can be found online in multiple languages at coronavirus.wa.gov. Dialing 311 will get you to the City of Tacoma's non-emergency information line. The state's coronavirus Q&A line is still being staffed 7 days a week, 6 a.m. to 10 p.m., at 1-800-525-0127. For interpreters in other languages, press pound when they answer and say your language. You can also text coronavirus to 211-211 in any language, and dialing 211 will connect you to community resources statewide through the United Way. You can also visit wa211.org online for all those resources. The Washington Listens support line is available 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Friday, and 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. on weekends to help Washingtonians cope with pandemic-related stress as a free service for those who are not in crisis but need an outlet to manage that stress. The number for Washington Listens is 1-833-681-0211. Influenza vaccines are now widely available at pharmacies and clinics. Go to knockoutflu.org to find a vaccination location. And uninsured adults can get a free flu vaccine at the Safeway pharmacies at 12th and M Street in Hilltop and on 38th Street in Tacoma's Lincoln District or at 21 other locations across the state of Washington. And no proof of residency or immigration status is required for those Safeway flu vaccines.
Moving on to new state updates, the state health department is urging individuals to normalize wearing masks in one's home when friends or family members come to visit, even briefly, in light of increased infection stemming from transmission between family members and close friends who may live in different households. Now, this is one I'm going to step back from and just say in more normal language is that if people come over to your house, you and they should be wearing masks because it will help prevent the spread of COVID-19. And why are they asking that you do this? Because they're seeing people go to other people's houses and COVID-19 is being spread that way. So this is the, you know, this is one of those where I kind of want to translate it a little bit out of governmentese into
something easier.
The UW School of Public Health is inviting Washington residents over the age of 18 to participate in a survey to better understand how to use technology to fight the ongoing pandemic. Participation in the Washington COVID-19 and Technology Survey is completely voluntary, and responses will be kept confidential. Email wanotifysurvey@uw.edu for a link to the survey in Spanish or English, and those links can be found on our website at daily.ktqa.org. The Washington COVID-19 Immigrant Relief Fund is now taking applications. The $40 million fund provides economic relief to Washington residents who are ineligible for other COVID-19 relief, including disaster cash assistance, unemployment benefits, and the federal stimulus payment because of their immigration status. The fund provides a one-time payment of $1,000 per person, up to $3,000 per eligible household. People can apply online at immigrantreliefwa.org from October 21st to December 6th, 2020, and funds will be distributed by December 28th, 2020. The Washington State Department of Commerce is partnering with Philanthropy Northwest to provide grants that focus on community-based nonprofits and tribal organizations most impacted by COVID-19. Email community.outreach@commerce.wa.gov for technical assistance or translation. Application info, including links to attend an online info session via Zoom on October 29th from 7 to 8 p.m. This is, again, for the Department of Commerce and Philanthropy Northwest grants. Again, there's be a Zoom meeting on October 29th from 7 to 8 p.m., and it can be found online at philanthropynw.org. Under the resources section, look for COVID-19 Equity Relief Fund for nonprofits. The governor has issued guidance regarding COVID-19 safety and voting service operations. Any COVID-related orders that could be interpreted to restrict access to voting centers and student engagement hubs by persons intending to register to vote, obtain a ballot, receive assistance with a ballot, deposit a ballot, or use other voting-related services is temporarily suspended. Elections personnel are deemed essential workers, elections offices are deemed essential facilities, and voting by mail or in person is an essential activity. Gathering restrictions do not apply to voters who are in attendance at a voting center for the purposes of registering to vote or to cast a vote. Elections personnel and voters should practice physical distancing and use face coverings.
And now for some regional updates. South King County residents may be eligible for emergency bill pay assistance due to COVID-related hardship. You can call Sound Outreach at 253-593-2111 if you are a South King County resident for more information. And Bonnie Lake High School will host a free drive-through flu shot event for kids and adults tomorrow, Thursday, October 29th, from 2:30 to 5:30 p.m. A little bit closer here in Tacoma, Downtown On The Go will host a virtual training on Thursday, October 29th, from 1 to 2 p.m. on how to give comment to the Tacoma City Council through a variety of avenues during the COVID-19 state of emergency. Visit the website downtownonthego.com or facebook.com/downtownonthego for info about this virtual event. Also on Thursday, CMAR Community Health will be hosting a virtual Latino Health Forum 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Presentation topics include Latino health outcomes at the intersection of race, Latino physician workforce in Washington State, health and rural life during the pandemic, and immigrants and COVID-19. The target audience includes healthcare experts and activists serving Latinos in the Pacific Northwest. Registration and further info is available at cmar.org/Latino Health Forum. The Tacoma City Council is looking for applicants to fill positions on the community's Police Advisory Committee. The committee is responsible for conducting policy review, reviewing trends in complaint investigation and statistical reports, and engaging in community outreach. Black and Indigenous community members, people of color, LGBTQ individuals, individuals with disabilities, seniors, immigrants, and refugees are especially encouraged to apply. Applications are found online at cityoftacoma.org/CBC application and must be submitted to the city clerk's office by November 11th. More information can be obtained by emailing servetacoma@cityoftacoma.org or by calling 253-591-5505.
Moving on to stuff that's happening for Halloween, many community events are slated to take place this weekend in celebration of Halloween. The WA State Health Department is discouraging traditional door-to-door trick-or-treating due to COVID-19. The health department's suggestions for alternative ways to celebrate Halloween include holding scavenger hunts at home, dressing up and hosting online costume or pumpkin carving contests, holding Halloween movie marathons with household members, keeping 6 feet from non-household members if participating in public events, and then washing hands before and after picking up treats. For those distributing treats, the health department recommends limiting candy to individually wrapped treat bags to reduce the number of people who would physically touch items in a communal bowl, and placing treat bags on a table in the driveway or yard to avoid crowds at one's door if possible. Another suggestion is to place mini pumpkins 6 feet apart in a line to signal physical distancing markers for trick-or-treaters who are waiting.
You seem to like that one, Sam.
That's cute. This Friday, October 30th, CMAR Community Health Center at 1307 11th Street will host a Sticks and Treats event from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. where attendees can play games, win prizes, and get flu vaccinations. Call 253-682-2180 for more information. Also this Friday, families with students of the Chief Leschi Schools are invited to a drive-through Halloween candy and treat pickup from 1 to 3 p.m. Masks are required, and attendees must stay in their vehicles. Also this Friday from 4 to 7 p.m., staff at the Cascade Regional Blood Services at 220 South I Street host a drive-through trunk or treat for participants staying in vehicles. Then head over between 6 and 8 p.m. to Tacoma Community House, where staff, along with the Tacoma Housing Authority, welcome families for a drive-through trunk-or-treat event, rain or shine. Due to COVID-19 guidelines, no foot traffic can be accommodated. Costumes are optional but encouraged. Participants will drive through the Tacoma Community House parking lot to enjoy and collect treats from decorated trunks and booths based 6 feet apart. And KTQALP, that would be this station, will be supplying a spooky soundtrack that night, so tune in to 95.3 FM for a soundtrack to go with your trunk or treat. Then on Saturday, October 31st, businesses at Point Ruston Public Market will host a socially distanced trick-or-treating with a variety of candy chutes and catapults.
That's one way to stay 6 feet from someone outside your household.
Okay.
I think they're catapulting the treats, not the trick-or-treaters.
Would catapults with no information. I'm not going to guess what they're catapulting or where they're catapulting it to. Costumes are encouraged for all ages and even pets. On Sunday, October 31st from 3 to 6 p.m., the Hilltop Business Association and the Hilltop Action Coalition are sponsoring Halloween on the Hill, where businesses throughout Tacoma's Hilltop neighborhood will facilitate socially distanced trick-or-treating for families. All participants are asked to wear face masks and maintain 6 foot distancing, and you can email info at hbatacoma.com with any questions. Also on Saturday, Gen Care Lifestyle at Point Ruston hosts no contact Halloween treat pickup from 1 to 3 p.m. in their parking lot. Hearthside Manor on Drexler Drive West in University Place will host a drive-through treat pickup from 2 to 5 p.m., where costumes and decorated cars are encouraged. From 4 to 5 p.m. on Saturday, interpreters at the Fort Nisqually Living History Museum will host a virtual discussion on Victorian spiritualism practices and seances that were documented in Fort historical records. The event will conclude with a performance of what a Victorian seance might have sounded like. Registration is required via Eventbrite, and questions should be emailed to elizabeth.rudrud@tacomaparks.com. Again, you can find that link at our website at daily.ktqa.org.
Halloween isn't the only holiday that is being celebrated or observed this weekend. Community events are also slated to take place this weekend in observance of Dia de los Muertos, or Day of the Dead. The Tacoma Pierce County Health Department has outlined in English and Spanish a list of low, medium, and high-risk activities with regards to COVID-19 on Dia de los Muertos. Lower-risk activities include preparing food to share with loved ones in your household or delivering to people at higher risk of severe illness without making direct contact, playing music your loved ones enjoyed while they were alive, creating an altar for your deceased loved ones with ofrendas, decorating masks, joining with loved ones online instead of in person, setting out pillows and blankets in one's homes for your loved ones' spirits. Medium risk activities include visiting grave sites, minimize risk by avoiding large groups at grave sites, and by wearing face masks and maintaining a safe 6 feet of space. Other medium risk activities include having a small parade or processional outside, keeping household groups 6 feet apart, or having a small dinner gathering with local family and friends while staying outdoors and practicing physical distancing. Higher risk activities include large indoor gatherings with singing or prayer, especially with people from other geographic regions. The health department notes that Hispanic people make up to 11% of Pierce County's population, but account for 22% of all COVID-19 cases, and urges everyone to be sure to care for the living, as you may be welcoming the spirits and memories of loved ones back into your lives. And to that end, on Sunday, La Resistencia will hold a Dia de los Muertos remembrance from 1 to 3 p.m. outside the Northwest Detention Center at 1623 East J Street to honor the lives of detained individuals lost to COVID-19 and police brutality. Attendees are invited to bring a kite and ofrendas of flowers or food to place on symbolic altars or to decorate your car with flowers and with the names of people who've died by COVID-19 police violence. Attendees are asked to abide by COVID safety guidelines around physical distancing. There are numerous free COVID-19 testing sites in our region. For those of you up in King County, you can find locations at kingcounty.gov. For Pierce County locations, visit the Tacoma Pierce County Health Department website at tpchd.org/COVID test. This week's remaining free pop-up testing events in Pierce County include Thursday, October 29th, testing that will take place at the Tacoma Dome and at Chapel Hill Presbyterian in Gig Harbor. And on Friday, October 30th, the health department will be at the Tacoma Nazarene Church in the Lincoln District and at West Pierce Fire and Rescue and University Place. No ID is required, and tests are free and open to anyone at those events. Testing from the Pierce County Health Department runs from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. And community healthcare with locations in Tacoma, Spanaway, and Lakewood is offering testing for COVID-19 even if you're not a community healthcare patient. You can call 253-722-2161 for a telehealth screening appointment.
So is that it for the updates for today?
That's it for the updates, but for the first time in a long while, we've got some entertaining interviews and conversations with a community member.
Fantastic. You can dial 311 for the City of Tacoma Non-Emergency Information Line. Dialing 211 will connect you to statewide community resources. Our email address is daily@ktqa.org, and our phone number is 253-330-8821. You can call or text us. Now on to the interview.
I'm very pleased to welcome to KTQA Daily Briefing this evening Alyssa Torres. She is the program specialist with the Tacoma Housing Authority, among other things that you do and have done in Tacoma. How are you, Alyssa?
I am doing great. Thank you so much.
Well, one of the reasons that I'm excited to have you here today is to talk about an event that's coming up on Friday that KTQA is very pleased to also be at least a little bit peripherally involved with, and that is the Tacoma Housing Authority and Tacoma Community House joint effort at Trunk or Treat. Can you tell us a little bit about what we can expect on Friday?
Yes, we are so excited because we've done Trunk or Treat events in the past, but as we know, we're doing things a little bit differently this year due to our COVID constrictions and guidelines and wanting to keep everyone safe. So this Trunk or Treat will be a drive-through format. And so everyone that attends will be in their cars. You stay in your cars, encouraged to wear costumes in your car as well. But we're going to be driving through the Tacoma Community House parking lot, which is at 1314 South L Street in Tacoma. And if you haven't seen the brand new beautiful building that they have and the beautiful large parking lot, we'll have ample space for cars to come through and wave and get goodies from the trunks or booths that community members and community organizations like Tacoma Housing Authority and the Hilltop Action Coalition will have set up all decorated for people to come drive through and get some goodies.
Awesome. Now, some of us may have members of our family or household entourage that, well, I don't know, we're a little bit scared by scary things, or maybe we have some food allergies and it's kind of hard to, you know, spend Halloween time if you can't eat chocolate or peanuts. Are there alternative things, or are there opportunities for maybe some of our household members who might be a little bit creeped out by some very scary things?
Of course, there will be lots of different options for different organizations. We'll be giving out candy, treats, but also goodies as like pencils and erasers and back to school items and other things. So not everything will be, candy focused. And then we are encouraging more fun decorations versus scary. I myself am not a scary Halloween type of person, so I like the fun pumpkins and smiling ghosts and things like that. So it will be nice, fun, lighthearted trunk or treat Halloween fun.
Awesome. Who are some of the folks that you expect to be partnering for booths and trunks and their displays and decorations?
We will have CMAR, we'll have Bates Technical College will be there, the Warrior Angel Riders, we'll have Metro Parks Tacoma, and a few others that are maybe not as well known, but are still doing great stuff in the community, and a lot of community members, like some of the board members from the Tacoma Community House will be having their own booths. And so we have about 15 trunks or booths that will be there for everyone to enjoy.
Sounds awesome. So I'm excited about Halloween and some of the ways that we can still partake in that holiday with minimizing some of the risks and dangers associated with being in close contact. as you said, it's a drive-through. So is this the kind of thing where, like, I can drive through on my skateboard or on my bike or in my wagon, or is it really vehicle-based?
It's really vehicle-based because we want to be very sure that we're being very safe and maintaining 6 feet of distance between cars and people within their cars and outside. So even us as vendors, we're going to be really creative with how we get the candy to you or the treats to you. So some of us will be using grabber tools, like those kind of poles or things to give you guys some treats. I don't know if you've seen those candy chutes that people have been making. So we're getting creative with how to get the stuff into the car without getting super close. So we want to make sure everyone that comes is in a vehicle and is wearing masks so that we will remain safe. Because all of us, staff and volunteers, everyone participating will also be wearing masks and have gloves on to ensure that everyone is as safe as we can be.
Oh, good call about masks. I mean, we typically wear masks on Halloween or see them around, but the masks we're talking about here are the cloth face coverings and the, you know, shields and whatnot that are commonly known to, you know, help reduce that transmission, right? So maybe not just, you know, like a, I don't know, funny, you know,
scary masks.
The COVID prevention masks, right?
Exactly. So we want to encourage everyone to wear those, and we'll be wearing them as well.
Now, as the program specialist for Tacoma Housing Authority, can you talk a little bit about Tacoma Housing Authority? Because housing is something that's completely different from giving out treats in my mind. So what do you do on the other 364 days of the year?
Well, Tacoma Housing Authority, as the name and everyone kind of knows, is dedicated to providing affordable housing to Tacoma residents. But in addition to that, housing is a piece of a thriving and healthy community. So we also do a lot of community outreach with the neighborhoods that we're working in to make sure that people know us, people trust us, and that they know what we're doing in regards to building housing, but also in regards to other community initiatives that we're working on. So we're really a part of a community, and this kind of demonstrates another way that we're supporting the community in other ways outside of providing housing.
Awesome. And I was really excited that you all at Tacoma Housing Authority reached out to us as another part of this Hilltop community in order to participate in our very socially distanced way for the Trunk or Treat event. And I'm super excited that KTQA is going to be airing some creepy, spooky music. Not too scary, but some fun Halloween themed songs that folks can listen to, or I don't know if you all got some big loudspeakers up that you can blast from the parking lot there as folks are coming.
We'll have a few. Yeah, I just thought it would be a great way to add some more ambiance to the event. So as people are driving through, can tune in their radios and have a nice, fun Halloween soundtrack while they're participating in the drive-through trunk or treat. So that was a really fun idea. We're so glad that you guys are such great partners and such a great community resource to be able to work with us on that.
Well, we're excited. So you heard it here. You can tune in to 95.3 from 6 to 8 p.m. on this Friday for some Halloween-themed music. And then the subsequent day, Sam, our engineer, will also have a surprise of sorts for some Halloween-themed programming as well on the radio. Alyssa, is there anything else that you would like to add or let listeners of KTQA Daily Briefing know about Tacoma Housing Authority?
No, I think we've covered it. I just really appreciate your time, and I'm looking forward to seeing lots of friendly and scary faces on Friday.
Is there a way that we can recognize you? Are you giving away what you might be thinking of for your spirited costume?
You know what? I always wait until the last minute to find a costume, so I'm still working on it.
All right. Well, if folks have suggestions for your costumes, what's the best way to get in touch with Tacoma Housing Authority with any questions or input?
Yeah, you can reach me directly anytime, anyone. At my email address is the best way because we're still working from home and doing all that fun stuff. My email address is atorrez, T-O-R-R-E-Z, at tacomahousing.org.
Thank you so much, Alyssa. Alyssa Torres is the program specialist with Tacoma Housing Authority, getting us psyched up for this Friday's Trunk or Treat event.
I don't know. know, I feel weird giving out information over this music. You can dial 311 for the City of Tacoma non-emergency information line. 211 will connect you to statewide community resources. Email us at daily@ktqa.org. Call or text us at 253-330-8821. I think you should have let in with this music and then do the normal music so that it's not creepy while I'm telling people how to get help. I'm just putting that out there. Becky will be back on Friday.
KTQA LP 95.3 Tacoma.